Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much to everyone who's been listening every day and sending us messages saying you're enjoying the program. We love doing this, and I gotta say, Joe Biden's making it very easy for me. And then when he takes a break, you know who comes in and helps out? Andrew Cuomo. Or sometimes Fredo Cuomo. We got a lot of sound to get to. I want to keep playing some of this Biden sound. One that someone just sent me on Twitter. Joe likes to name people and act like we all know who he's talking about. You know, when he says, oh, Nance, whatever you think. Or, you know, Patty, Sue, whatever. He thanked two guys. Not sure who they are, but let's play this cut.
I moved so quickly to pass the American Rescue Plan with the help of my friends here in the Congress. I really mean that. It didn't pass by a whole lot, but with the leadership of Connor and Bobby and the mayor, you got it done.
Connor and Bobby.
And Mayor Nissen.
Who are Connor? Who's Bobby? I don't know. And then right when you think Joe, you know, he can't be leading the show, it must be Dr. Jill behind the scenes, she drops this whopper during a speech with Governor Gavin Newsom, cut 25.
So say it with me. Si se puede. The future is ours. Thank you.
And that kind of got me thinking, Jared, that when it comes to Spanish culture, the Bidens tend to bungle it up. And one specific example would be when Joe Biden wandered out onto the stage during campaigning to introduce the singer of Despacito and pulled the song up on his cell phone and held it up to the mic. Let's play this flashback, cut 26.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
All right. There you go. Dance a little bit, Joe. Come on.
Oh, they are so modern. They are so hip. They really get people. And the other story that I did want to talk about is the Delta of it all. Delta in Georgia is saying that, you know, it's these new laws that our Governor Kemp is trying to pass as far as election integrity goes. They're voter suppression. And of course, it's just a narrative that they're pushing. It doesn't actually, you know, even Daniel Dale is fact-checking them. But I thought that out of all the responses, and there were some great ones, including Kemp's himself, he called them out and also said, hey, next time I'm on a Delta flight, I won't bring my ID, since apparently IDs are racist. But I thought Marco Rubio, who I don't talk about a lot on this show, I'm not the biggest Marco Rubio fan, he did a good job with this video. He called out these woke hypocrites, and he hit them where it hurts. This is cut 31.
So Delta Airlines are business partners with the Chinese Communist Party, the same Chinese Communist Party that is committing genocide against Uyghur Muslims inside of China. So I look forward to a letter today from their CEO telling everyone that what the Chinese Communist Party is doing with genocide is unacceptable. I look forward to that letter saying that genocide does not reflect the values of Delta Airlines. Of course, they're not going to send that letter, nor is Coca-Cola, nor is any of these other corporations that are out there proving to the world how woke they are, because they are woke corporate hypocrites. That's what they are. They're woke corporate hypocrites. They make billions of dollars in a country that doesn't even have elections. They make billions of dollars working with a country that has no respect for anyone or anything, and they don't say a word about it. But in America, they're prepared to boycott a state and condemn them publicly to show and prove how woke they are.
Right.
They're hypocrites. Complete and total hypocrites.
In their defense, though, when he talks about the genocide, Joe Biden, you know, did come out and say, hey, enough's enough. It's different cultural norms. Stop criticizing them.
Genocide has nothing on the new Jim Crow, Grace. Come on.
Exactly. And I did want to get to your calls. After we go through your calls, I do want to talk about this Andrew Cuomo story. It is my favorite story of the day. And that's saying something, because there's so much out there right now, and this still takes the cake for me. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Grace, why do you think the governor of Texas and the governor of Arizona haven't called out the National Guard already in the light of the federal government breaking its own laws? And why can't they just say to the people, hey, we have to take control of this?
Well, actually, Joe, Governor Abbott in Texas did call out the National Guard in early March. I don't know what ended up happening with it, but I agree that the situation is completely out of control. The video from Project Veritas proved that. We actually have sound where, if you guys are curious about this, definitely check out the video, because it plays better if you're watching it. But they have a video where they're describing these migrants underneath the bridge, which I guess is supposed to be an overflow facility, but it's fences.
It's basically orange construction plastic fence and people sitting on the ground. And that's the extent of it. If you've ever seen like a homeless camp, it's like a homeless camp without the tents. That's pretty much what it is.
But let's be clear. It's not cages.
There are no cages.
Okay. This is cut 29.
Those are aliens inside of the fenced area.
One of our insiders just gained access to this incredibly restricted makeshift processing center in Granjejo, Texas. It's located under the Anzaldúa International Bridge. What you're looking at is never before seen footage showing migrants of all ages lying in the dirt operating.
Can you imagine if all of our media was as curious as Project Veritas? Because I just don't see it. Unless they're reporting on Joe Biden's favorite flavor of ice cream or Ted Cruz's dog being left alone, they don't ever seem to care about this. And they cared so much before. By the way, Jared, did you see AOC's now come out and said, oh, it is bad. It is bad. She came out again last night. And she's trying to backpedal, because people like me who trust me, I'm not AOC's biggest fan, but I always liked the fact that the congresswoman from the Bronx wasn't afraid of the establishment Democrats. That was, to me, her greatest strength. And she seems to be playing this as to not upset Joe Biden, because she does have a lot of power. According to insiders, she's sitting down with Ron Klain, his chief of staff. So it would seem like now her moral compass is askew, because she's getting these private meetings. And so she had to come out and say, oh, you know, I'm not even going to read you the stuff, because it's here's what it boils down to. She is a hypocrite. She's full of crap, and she does not care anymore. That's what it really boils down to. But it's, you know, weaved into all sorts of semantics and excuses and, oh, well, at least with Joe Biden, he's trying to figure out the problem. Trump wasn't even trying to figure out the problem. You guys have heard it all before. If you're thinking of replacing your carpets due to pet stains and odors, you must try Genesis 950. We talked a little bit yesterday about one of Joe Biden's dogs having an accident at the White House. I think it was on a rug. That could be fake news, but I think it was on a rug. Because otherwise, how would people know that it happened after? Because when a dog goes to the bathroom on rug, it kind of gets into the carpet. It can be a mess. Unfortunately, it was not an April Fool's joke. It happened yesterday. And these dogs are no joke. They are terrors. The reviews are amazing for Genesis 950. If you have a champ or a major in your house, this is the product for you. It actually works so that it works with water. It breaks down the bonds of stains and odors, so they're gone for good. And it can be used in a carpet cleaning machine. It's green, so it's safe for your family and pets. My favorite part of this product, as someone who's been trying to buy products that are made in America, is that it does just that. It is made in America. It's easy to get. It gives you a lot of product. And if you're tired of pet cleaners that don't work, it's time to buy Genesis 950. 1 gallon of industrial strength Genesis 950 makes up to 7 gallons of cleaner. But Genesis 950 is not just for pet stains. It's great for bathrooms, kitchens, floors, upholstery, and grease stains. I don't have a Major or Champ in my life, and I still love Genesis 950. Plus, I really like the spray bottle. Because, you know, Jared, there's different levels of spray bottle. Some of them are really powerful. They give you a really good one. And guys, if you want to get this, order 1 gallon direct at Genesis950.com. You'll receive a free spray bottle, free shipping, and a $10 coupon using code GRACE. That's Genesis950.com. Coupon only available for 1 gallon purchase. Genesis950, much cheaper than replacing your carpets. We'll be back on the other side with more. 844-500-4242. And this is the last time I will tease this. Maybe. We will get to this hysterical Andrew Cuomo story. Spoiler alert, he is not a superhero. In case you thought he was, he is not. We'll be back on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I know you guys have been asking, when is the next Grace's Goodies? Well, I have a surprise for you. It's actually right now.
So you're looking for a deal and you want to make it real.
A money-saving deal.
It's Grace's Goodies.
Goody, goody.
I'm really excited about this Grace's Goodies because I think people desperately need something to entertain their whole family. I don't have kids, but I have nieces and nephews, and I got to tell you, people are getting stir crazy. And yeah, it's fun to go out to eat. That's all well and good. But the kids need something to do. They need an activity. I have this spot for you. It's called Fun Spot. And we have a great Grace's Goodies. We're going to explain to you what it is. But I want to welcome my guest, Dave Lawton. And he's here to tell us all about Fun Spot. Dave, thank you so much for joining the show.
Oh, thank you, Grace. It's a pleasure to be here. We're very excited about this launch of Grace's Goodies.
I'm very excited about this. So, Dave, tell people what they can do at Fun Spot. I know you guys have over 600 games, but there's a lot more to Fun Spot than just games. You guys have a restaurant, a cash bingo, indoor mini golf.
There is. Yeah, there's a ton of things for the whole family, like you mentioned. You know, there's something for everybody. And we have a 20-lane bowling center with 10-pin and candle-pin. And we have a tavern not too far from that where you can get an adult beverage and relax a little bit and unwind from the noise of the game room. And we also have an indoor 18-hole mini golf. We have, like you mentioned, we have cash bingo where you can play and win prizes, bingo and tickets and other things. And that's for a good charitable cause. And then we also have a restaurant, the Brag and Dragon restaurant, where you can get fresh pizza. And one of the big attractions this time of year for families is our free birthday party area, where you can come in and for no charge, just make use of our birthday space, bring your own decorations, and you just have to make a reservation is all we ask, but it's completely free party space, and that's been a great business for us.
That is so awesome. That is such a nice thing that kids can gather there and have a little party and not have to pay crazy fees. Dave, something I noticed is that this really, you could have, you know, teenagers or really young kids, and it seems like you have different entertainment for everyone. Like you said, there is a bowling alley, which I know I always loved to do as a kid, but I also, you know, loved it when I was in high school and stuff like that. But there's something that I think is really cool is that you guys have arcade games for the younger kids. So it kind of spans a lot of different ages.
It does, yeah. Now, we have, like you mentioned, I think 600 games, and about half of those are what we call the classics, and that's probably more for people in my age group that remember the 80s and Pac-Man and all those games. We have a great collection of those, and it's part of the total collection makes us the largest arcade in the world. So you got plenty of games to choose from, and as you mentioned, the other types of games we offer now are big for the younger kids is the prize redemption games. You know, that's a big thing, right from skee ball all the way up to some of the newer, more modern versions. Kids can go and win lots of tickets and then go cash them in.
I used to love, Dave, I used to love the tickets. That was my favorite part. You know a game I always liked, Dave? The one where the coins are all on the like the long thing, and then you have to try to hope that some of them are going to get scooted off, and then you get tickets for that. Kind of hard to describe.
Yeah, it's enticing. You can see the tokens just hanging off the edge of the shelf there, and it's a big attraction. A lot of people love to play it, and we have people come in and just play nothing but that. They just really enjoy the excitement of that game and winning more tokens, and then they go play some prize games, and it's really a lot of fun.
Dave, do you guys have Mario Kart?
I'm not positive we have that. We have quite a collection. I can't keep them all, but
that's a classic too.
But yeah, that's a classic. That's a lot of fun.
That's Joe Biden's
favorite.
We
do have one of our recent additions was a Daytona multiplayer race game where you can play, I think, up to 8 people all linked together, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
That's awesome. All right, guys, so FunSpot offers over 600 games, like Dave said, including 300 classic arcade games. If you're a Pac-Man guy, if you like to pretend you're driving the car, I mean, there's all these kinds of games, but there's also a 20-lane, 10-pin, and candlepin bowling center, cash bingo, like he said, indoor mini golf. My favorite would be the restaurant, because if I had little kids, I would say, go have so much fun. I'm going to sit here and have a slice of pizza and a Coke and enjoy myself and some peace and quiet. They have a tavern. So this is what I want you guys to do. Go to gracecurlyshow.com. Click on the store to get your gift certificate to FunSpot today. Dave, I got to imagine people are just dying to get there with their kids and just kind of let their hair down and let their family have some fun.
Yeah, no, it's a great place to unwind, and, you know, there's always concerns about, you know, we're in the world of COVID, and our facility was built, overbuilt probably in the 80s, you know, so we have over 60,000 square feet of space in our facility, and, you know, we're generally, you know, even on a busy weekend, we're not even getting anywhere near quarter capacity of what that is built for, so there's plenty of room for your social distancing, and people are ready to get out and have some fun with the family. And like you said, again, generations, you know, you can do whatever you like at FunSpot. If you feel like just relaxing with a slice of pizza and a Coke while the kids go play, you can do that. And there's something for everybody to play and have a good time.
When I was younger, my parents used to take us to arcades sometimes, and I would just have the absolute best time. And you could be there for hours, and I would just keep getting tickets and tickets and tickets and just run around. And I just really think that, especially when you have a facility like this, guys, you have to take advantage of it, because your kids are going to be so happy, and you also will get them out of your hair for at least an hour. While supplies last, you can purchase a $50 gift certificate to FunSpot for just $25. So it's a $50 value. All you have to do is spend $25, and you can take your whole family. This is FunSpot. It's a really great spot. You guys want to check it out. And Dave Lawton, thank you so much for joining the show. Everyone can go to gracecurlyshow.com. Click on the store. Don't wait. I think these are going to sell out fast, because people have cabin fever, and they're ready to get to those bowling alleys. We'll be back on the other side with more with Chris DeGaulle from Town Hall. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to cover today. We still have the Andrew Cuomo story to get to, and so much more, but I'm really excited because one thing that's been bugging me. So when I reached out to Chris DeGaulle, it was because, well, one, I think he's hilarious and he writes great stuff. But when I saw the headline of his latest town hall piece, Rest in Peace, Karen, and it was all about how this thing's coming to an end, I was so excited because I really hope that's true. But I also listen to Chris's podcast. And so the first question I have, first of all, Chris DeGaulle, thank you for joining the show.
Hiya, Grace. How are you today?
I'm great, but my first thing I want to ask you about is that you just did a podcast about woke fascism and all these corporations in America, you know, dealing with the Georgia elections, you know, and all that kind of nonsense that they're sticking their noses into. And it really drives me nuts. It's not so much, Chris, that I care about the woke Twitter trolls who freak out about racism and whatever, you know, Aunt Jemima's on the syrup bottle. I get that people are going to do that. But what you pointed out is it's the people at Delta and Coke and the MLB that bow down to these trolls that are the problem.
Yeah, it's going to become the new front. I mean, it's always been a bit of an issue, but it's not ever been quite like this. We've seen Amazon, we've seen the NCAA certainly do this a couple of years ago in North Carolina. They're doing it to Kristi Noem in South Dakota. Yeah, now Delta, Coke, Major League Baseball. In Missouri, in Kansas City, where I come from, when the Josh Hawley thing came up during, you know, the insurrection back on January 6th, Hallmark and Commerce Bank that are headquartered there, they went after Josh Hawley's PAC. So corporate interests are now weighing in and choosing political sides in ways they didn't used to. And I think it's largely driven by the woke young culture inside these companies, but in many cases, too, the leaders and their corporate boards who go to the white wine spritzer cocktail parties and are big left-wing donors. So it is something we'll have to contend with, but I've come to the conclusion that I think in a lot of cases, maybe we're just going to have to call their bluff, right? Because what are they going to do? Move? Are you going to leave Georgia and move to where? The more hospitable and affordable New York or something for your headquarters? I don't think so.
Exactly. And I'm always just amazed that people get themselves into these situations where one day the head of Delta is saying, oh, you know, this all looks good. The bill looks good. There's some things that could be improved. And then the next day he's saying, our family here at Delta, we're going to make this crystal clear. We won't stand for this. And Chris, the ironic part is that a lot of this talk about voter suppression has to do with voter ID. And I don't know about you, but the last time I got on a Delta flight, I had to show my ID quite a few times.
Yeah, well, in fact, I just flew Delta this weekend, and let me tell you, not only did I have to show ID, but I was standing there at the TSA, it wasn't Delta, but as I'm standing there at the TSA and getting my crotch fondled by a rather husky gentleman in a TSA uniform, I kept thinking to myself, so there's a family from Guadalajara being put up in a hotel and bused to God knows where here inside the country. They came in here unmasked, carrying Lord knows what, and they're being furnished and all expenses paid. And I get, you know, I get the royal treatment here, getting groped and fondled and showing my ID. I'm treated like a prisoner. I got to mask up, and you know, we're felons in this country, for heaven's sakes. And, yeah, Delta is screaming and yelling at Georgia for asking to show ID at the polling place. It's absurd. And here's the thing, Grace. We all know it. The voters know it. And whether you're black, you're brown, you're Asian, you're white, the voters are overwhelmingly, you've seen this, every poll shows it, voters are overwhelmingly supportive of what Brian Kemp and Georgia's doing. So they can just, you know, Delta can shove it where they fly, as far as I'm concerned.
But Chris, another part of this that I find funny is I somehow stumbled on a Joy Reid monologue last night. Don't ask me how. And she was, you know, going on and on about how Republican gossip and, you know, Republican fake outrage has real world consequences. And I was actually laughing because I was thinking, well, all of this woke culture does have really serious consequences. And a really great example is when you look at Chinese leadership meeting with, you know, Anthony Blinken and basically saying, well, you guys have tons of issues there. You're racist. You know, you're part of the patriarchy. You don't treat your citizens right. And he kind of had to just take it because that's what the Democrats have been pushing for decades now, is that we really are evil. Like you said, we're all felons. It's everyone else in the world that is wonderful.
Yeah, of course, that's laughable because in China, when you disagree with them, they just imprison you and you know, literally skin you alive. It's such a laughable comparison that China would lecture us on, you know, our human rights abuses. I mean, it's not even comparable. it's just laughable and silly that China would make a comparison. But of course, they're trying to exploit the division. And China, by the way, owns a lot of these corporate interests, influences a lot of these corporate interests, sows a lot of these this division through social media. They literally actively sow this division to exploit the rifts and say, "Well, see, you're no more perfect than we, you attack us. You're not perfect." But I mean, these are people that, you know, everybody understands. They make people disappear. It's not even close. It's just silly to compare the two.
But it is strange when you see people like the guy at Delta or Coca-Cola or Mark Cuban. They're so brave and they're so woke when it comes to talking about Trump or talking about Governor Kemp. I mean, they are just social justice warriors. But when it comes to condemning China, there's pretty much crickets for that. Chris, I do want to ask you about something else here. And I'm speaking with Chris DeGaulle. He has a podcast, The Chris DeGaulle Show, which you guys should all check out. It's phenomenal. And he also writes a lot for Town Hall. Let's get into this piece. I love the title, R.I.P. Karen. Rest in peace, Karen. You go through here. You really think this thing is coming to an end. You know, despite the fact that maybe some people don't want it to end, you say it's inevitable. It's almost over. As someone who, you know, I'm going to get a little selfish here, Chris. I want to get married and have a big wedding in November. I read this piece and I felt kind of hopeful.
You should. And I'll tell you why. Not because I say it and not because anybody in conservative circles is saying it. Joe Biden has said it. Joe Biden's CDC has said it. And I would encourage you to shove this piece that I've written in the face of any well-meaning left winger who disputes it, because this is now coming from Joe Biden and his CDC. This is not a conservative talking point, Grace. Here's what we know. Let me just go through these stated facts. And I cite sites, by the way, and I cite CNN and CNBC. I have links in my column so that everyone can read it. It's not coming from conservative, not Fox, not Grace, not Chris, not talk radio. This is I've researched all your favorite left-wing sites to prove my point. The CDC said this week the vaccines, if you get both, are 90% effective, right?
Right.
The CDC said this week, if you get the vaccines, if you're fully vaccinated, you cannot carry the virus, nor can you pass it on. And most importantly, Joe Biden promised that every adult in the country who wanted this vaccine would have it by the end of May. So you take those three components, you put them together, that tells me the need for masks, social distancing, regulations, shutdowns, lockdowns, all of it is over effective June 1. Now, that's being more than generous, but I say by June 1st, every adult who wants this vaccine, and I stress who wants it, is completely safe per the CDC, per Joe Biden's CDC. How do you see it any other way?
Well, I agree with you there, and I know that you're just going off of facts here from, like you said, some people's favorite liberal websites, but there's also an optics thing that's happening that I find amazing that you touched on a little bit earlier in this interview about the border crisis, because we are now being told, like you said, we're felons, you know, put your mask on, put two masks on. Don't get near anyone. You know, you can't have any gatherings with 250 people, or, you know, you can, but not 251. The list goes on and on. And then we look at the border and all of these people are coming in and some of them are getting in-person learning. They're all very close together. So you do mention that, Chris, as, you know, part of this optics nightmare for the Biden administration.
Yeah, well, that's insulting. And that's why this week began, if you remember, it's like every day feels like a year, doesn't it?
It does.
If you remember the beginning of the week, it started with Rochelle Walensky, the CDC director. It was very odd. Remember, she started the week by saying that she felt impending doom.
Yes.
And Biden held, you know, he had that weird slurring press conference where, oh, please wear your mask. And he was begging the states to start locking down again.
No joke. That
was Monday. I mean, really bizarre stuff. But by Tuesday, all those studies that I just mentioned all came out. And they basically contradicted all the pending doom stuff. So it's like, and here's why they opened the week on Monday in a panic about the CD, about the pending doom stuff, because of the border. I maintain that the American public, they're trying to continue to fan the flames of panic about COVID, which is overwhelmingly positive news, because they don't want you paying attention to that hellscape that's going on at our southern border, which is a real crisis. Still in all, the good news is, as I just said, per their own data, and I'm not pro-vaccine personally, but per their own data, if you take that vaccine, you're bulletproof, right? So Joe Scarborough freaking out this week, you idiots, you cavemen who won't take the vaccine, you science deniers, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter, Grace. It doesn't matter if I don't take it. It doesn't matter if the guys who cross the border don't take it. If you take that vaccine and Joe Biden promises you're going to have access to it by May, into May, you take it, you're bulletproof, you're safe, you're good, and you can't pass it on to anybody. That's all you need to know. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. Like, it's over. So I don't want to, you know, the southern border's a problem. That's not over. But COVID is an issue, is over.
Now, Chris, before I let you go, and everyone should check out Chris's stuff at Town Hall and check out his podcast, The Chris DeGaulle Show. The last time you were on, you said something that really stuck with me. You were watching your kids struggle with the Zoom learning and all of the shutdowns. Do you think kids are they getting hopeful again? Are they feeling like this thing's coming to an end? I just remember you saying you felt like you were complicit in kind of abusing these kids because they're so depressed from sitting at home.
My wife, since we talked, I was so proud of her. My wife actually wrote a brief speech. She was granted by the benevolent school board dictatorship. She was granted the privilege, along with the other citizenry in my community, the privilege of going to speak to the Attila the Hun chair-seated school board, where she gave a four-minute speech, and she was just brilliant. It's her birthday today, by the way. Happy birthday, darling. But she went, and she just ripped him a new one, in an eloquent and a polite way, but she just tore, and that very night, they voted to let the kids back into school. I'm not saying it was my wife's speech, but we had a little give there. The community finally rallied and pushed so hard that the school board had no choice. They caved, and they reopened the schools. Now, of course, the minute there was a bit of an uptick in cases, they closed again for spring break. But it broke. The dam broke here, finally. Now, I know that's not the case for a lot of kids still, but there has been a bit of a break. So the mood has lifted, and things have changed a bit here where I live. I know that's still not the case for a lot of kids, though. So it is still a critical, critical problem, and it's the worst. Now they're already talking about this damn vaccine for kids.
I know,
and Grace, and that's not been the subject. Kids have not been carriers. They've not been vulnerable. That's not been a subject that we've even been having, and now all of a sudden we're talking about kids like they're vulnerable. I think that's a racket, frankly, but neither here nor there.
It's all part of the panic porn, Chris. Hey, Chris, where can people follow you on Twitter if they want to find you there and read your stuff?
It's my first and last name, all one word, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Stigall, S-T-I-G-A-L-L. Or if you go to chrisstigall.com, all my social media, all my links, it's all there.
Thank you so much for joining the show, sir. We hope to have you on again soon.
Thank you, Grace. Have a great one.
You too. I love having Chris Stigall on. He hits every single thing, and he doesn't leave anything out there. And, if you guys want to read his piece, rest in peace, Karen. I hope he's right. I really hope he's right. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and you're going to want to open those doors and windows. But you open the doors and windows, and you're so happy because it's the warm air, and, you know, it's springtime, and then something unexpected happens. Unless you're Jared. He expects it every year.
Yes.
Jared, what happens?
All that pollen and all those irritants come right in through the screens and the windows. If you put the screen door up, it comes through there. And even if you take the allergy meds, you still have to deal with the scratchy throat, the runny nose, the eyes, all that stuff.
Allergies are your kryptonite.
They are my kryptonite.
That's a superhero thing because Jared likes the comics.
Very well done.
Thank you.
But if you have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, that is the answer to the kryptonite, which I think red kryptonite is harmless, but it's neither here nor there. Yes, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is great for your allergies. Take it from me, an allergy-ridden comic book geek. when I want to breathe and I need to. I love the Eden Pure Thunderstorm.
And right now it's well under $100. The Thunderstorm air purifier really works, as Jared said. It sends out super oxygen and ions to kill odors in your room and purify the air. Whether you have pollen, pets, kitchen, musty basement, tobacco, any unwanted odors, you need the Thunderstorm. And right now you can get it for its lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE. You'll save an additional $10 off and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. You get $10 off the sale price and free shipping. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, code word GRACE. Don't miss out on this deal. We'll be back on the other side with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, and a good Friday to you. This is Grace Curley. Oh my gosh, it's Thursday. It's my Friday, though.
It's a holy Thursday to everyone.
Holy Thursday. It is my Friday, though. Humble brag. So I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Speaking of, though, now it's time for the poll question, which has to do with Easter Sunday, and it's brought to you by Balance 7 Liquid Concentrate. Start sleeping better tonight and get the acid out of your body with Balance 7. Save $10 on the six-pack with code word Howie. To order, go to balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. Jared Diglio is on the board. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which is the best Easter candy? Peeps, Reese's egg, Cadbury cream egg, Cadbury mini chocolate eggs, or jelly beans?
I love the Cadbury mini chocolate eggs.
Mini chocolate eggs up, polling at 21%.
Nice.
Good for third place. Second place goes to the Cadbury cream egg at 26%. And at 31%, jelly beans are in the lead.
I don't like jelly beans at all. And I'm not opposed to a jelly I don't know if you'd call them jelly, like a gummy. I'm not opposed to Sour Patch and all that kind of stuff. But jelly beans have never done anything for me. I'm surprised the big Cadbury egg is polling so high because those kind of gross me out.
Yeah, we know I'm not a big chocolate guy, but the Reese's egg, I can definitely do that.
Jared, that's insane that you're not a big chocolate guy, because chocolate is so delicious.
I'm a big fruit candy guy. I would be in the jelly beans category.
Interesting.
That's my favorite Easter candy.
So we talked a little bit in the last segment about these woke fascist companies that are trying to make their mark and make people happy. And there's talk that the MLB will move out of Georgia, or the All-Star event. Is that what it is?
Like many years ago when the NBA moved the All-Star game out of Charlotte because of the bathroom bill.
Yeah, it's all virtue signaling. And listen to what Joe Biden had to say about it.
So, Mr. President, what do you think about the possibility that baseball decides to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta because of this political issue?
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that.
Why, and guys, I have a piece coming out in Spectator where I kind of hit on this. Do they not have bigger fish to fry than the All-Star game and me carrying around a vaccine passport? Get down to the border, good sir! We'll be back on the other side with the Cuomo story you've all been dying to hear. Don't go anywhere.